Record. If you could state your name again, just
Tony Sandifer.
You remain under oath. And I believe
just a few. I think I had three follow-up questions, okay. Your Honor.
Go ahead.
I'm going to count them on my fingers. One. Now you own some of the property other than just Action Services that surrounds the site. Is that correct?
Correct.
Would you explain to the examiner?
I'm involved in a partnership in the 4954 building. I've been involved in the ownership since the 90s of that property.
Have you ever had any neighbor tell you you're trespassing?
No.
As far as you know, you've got easement rights to park the trucks and drive them.
Yeah.
Where you park them and where you drive them outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's my property, so yeah.
Okay. Now, in terms of the uses, you were asked some questions, what was going on in 1982. Between 1982 and, say, up to 88 when you purchased, have you added it? Did you add any uses, or were they always service uses?
We actually, in about 92, I was a partner in a business called Pro Rentals, which was a rental yard, rental facility, and we started it after a rental yard up where Star Rentals is closed, and we purchased the equipment, and I was a partner in Pro Rentals for a number of years, and we operated out of the building as a rental yard for a number of years, and then that business grew and then moved out of the building, and they moved up where Star Rentals is today and then moved where United Rentals is. But I was out of that business, but we rented out of there for 2-3 years to expand it up the road. But I was a kind of a small partner in that business.
In terms of the service uses you provide customers, what were you doing, say, when you after you rented the business in 1982? What services were you providing?
The same services we provide today. I mean, mainly it was a lot of janitorial. It was a lot of building maintenance, and then the parking lot sweeping was always a pretty big part of what we do. It's a retail service.
Were you maintaining stormwater systems back then?
We started doing stormwater systems. It didn't get really, I think our first Vactor actually was a City of Kent machine that we got from them, and I think our first TV truck, but that was about 94. 93 when it started to ramp up for the storm inspections and the DOE regulations for storm. We started really early, and we did a lot of municipal contracts back then.
When you say back then?
1994 through, well, we still do them today, but it was a big push in the 90s to do storm maintenance.
Okay. So the stormwater maintenance came in after 88?
Yeah, I guess the big push for inspections and maintenance programs, and the cities had to comply with new regulations, so they were contracting a lot of work. There was an opportunity there, so we expanded into that opportunity.
Were you doing the pressure washing and lot cleaning and sweeping? That occurred before 1988, right?
Yeah, I mean, that started in about 78.
Like, so you were always doing that?
Yeah.
What about snow removal?
Yeah, I mean, then it was a push broom and a shovel, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. On the fences now, you said they're chain link, but do you have any vegetation or things around, that type of thing around the fence?
Yeah, on the backside between the office building, there's a number of trees and buffer, and then on the, might even get this down now. Yeah, on the west rear corner, we've basically let the brush grow up to, as a buffer, to block the view and to keep the homeless out.
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Anything redirect? Or, I'm sorry, recross from the county, Ms. Nickel.
Okay. That would complete our case in chief, Your Honor.
Okay, I do not have any. Questions for you right now. So.
Do I get to go home?
You probably wish to watch the remainder.
Like
so.
Oh, okay. You're having so much fun, Tony. I mean, why would you want to go?
That's a relative term, I think. Thanks.
All right. Ms. Nickel, did you have, I believe you had, the county had two witnesses.
We have two witnesses. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's louder. First one we'll call is Eric Gordon.
Good morning. Could you state your name for the record?
It's Eric Warden.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes.
I'm Martin. Can you give us your title and how long you've worked for the county?
My job title is Construction Inspector 2, but what I do is I'm a stormwater inspector, water quality inspector for Kitsap County. I've started working for Kitsap County in 1995.
Can you describe generally what your role is as a stormwater inspector?
Yeah. What I do is on a daily basis, I inspect commercial property to make sure all the stormwater systems, they're all compliant. They're not dirty. There's no pollution. Inspect all the whatever type of facilities they may have. They might be from ponds to catch basins, oil water separators, all of that. If they're not in compliant, I write them a letter, give them a certain amount of days to be in compliant. from there, we do re-inspections, you know, and it's another letter. By a third letter, they're usually in compliant. So we spend a lot of time doing commercial property inspection. That's about probably 70% of what I do.
And when you say commercial, what do you mean by that? Is it commercial versus residential, or
right? Yeah, any property with a stormwater system. So residential, they usually don't, but certain neighborhoods do. If they're a private neighborhood, we treat them as commercial as well.
So commercial isn't a zoning term that you're using; it's just the way
it's not a zoning term. Right.
Can you describe your involvement with Action Services property?
Yeah.
And you don't have to go into too much detail if you don't want to.
Okay. Yeah, there's not really, honestly, there's not a lot of detail. I've tried to inspect there numerous times throughout the years and been declined. More what I see from them, it's more of a visual, what I can see in their back lots versus actually doing physical inspections.
Kelly Payne. I couldn't quite hear you, sir.
Oh, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Have you asked for to be on site to go look?
I have. I've spoken. I apologize. I don't know Mr. Sandiford's. I guess Mrs. Sandiford. I've spoken to her on the phone. A few times trying to get permission to go back there because it's a locked fence gate and not much success. But we've had other inspectors as well who has had more communication. He doesn't work here any longer with Tony in the past than I have. But
so we're not going to get into too much of the stormwater facets of this, right? But you were on site because you were doing that, so you can describe what you've seen. So can you, we did have three exhibits from you, 13, 14, and 15. Can you take a look at those and then describe kind of your site visits and what you saw, and then lead us through either your report or pictures or both, depending on the exhibit?
Yeah, so on 13, this is a note that I wrote to Kim Dunn. And Kim Dunn is a code enforcement for Kitsap County. And it was in regards to Fred Meyer, as well as action services for the vehicles that are on the lot. Axel was the manager of Fred Meyer. His last name I probably can't pronounce. And we had meetings in his office regarding this site visit. He called while sitting there. He called Tony, asked him to move the vehicles off-site, and gave Tony a week to move all the vehicles off-site. While sitting there, he said, "We'll have to have them towed if you don't move them, because we're not zoned for that." I obviously can't tell you what Tony's response was. I did it on the phone. I followed up a couple weeks later after a couple meetings with Axel. He called him again, spoke to Tony again while I was sitting there, asked him to move the vehicles, and they weren't moved. I did a vehicle count, and on site I had, there's three Vactor trucks, two flatbed trucks, four small pickup trucks, three full-size pickups, seven street sweepers, and one dump truck, which totaled about roughly 20 vehicles on site on Fred Meyer.
Can you, sorry to interrupt right there, can you on the map kind of show where you remember seeing those?
The vehicles on site line the fence line. There's a retaining wall right here. There's a fence. And so they line the fence line right here. And several stalls right here in this drive path.
So just to clarify, so the exhibits that are the vehicles that are noted in DCD 13, this exhibit, those are the ones that are on the Fred Meyer site?
Well, probably not exactly. This is a Google photo, so it, we don't know when they.
Oh, I know. I'm not looking at the truck, but based on, and I'll let you continue, but on the DCD 13, this exhibit that you've been referring to, there's that bullet point truck. So those are on the Fred Meyer.
Fred Meyer. Okay. The Fred Meyer side right here, yes.
So then, isn't that the one that. I gave you my copy that has the other.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, exhibit 15?
Sure, and then we can go back to 14.
Okay. On exhibit 15, on the 2nd of May, I did a site visit. In that day, I counted how many vehicles were on the Action Services site, the catering company site, and the Fred Meyer site. Action Services, you want me to list all of them?
No, I think you don't need to call them out. Maybe you can point to where you saw them.
Definitely.
Relative to the map. Just so you've got pictures.
So on the action site, there was 12 vehicles between in front of his building along the retained wall, even though it's in Brogia. I put it as the action site. And then the catering company site, there's still 4 vehicles parked in front of their building, and in the Fred Meyer site, there was 21 vehicles that day, commercial vehicles and a couple small trucks on site.
And you classify them as commercial vehicles, so what's your description of?
Yeah, commercial vehicle would require a CDL. It's the weight. Size, CDL is driver's license.
What does CDL stand for?
Commercial driver's license.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's right.
And then and then can we walk through Exhibit 4? Well, actually, 15 has pictures, too.
Okay. Yeah.
So just orient us going through the pictures, kind of where you, so that the examiner knows if she's looking back what she's looking at.
Okay. Do you want me to put them on the screen? I can do that pretty easy.
Yeah, you can.
We're going back to DCD 14 now? Or
staying with 15. 15 has pictures, too, only a few of them.
So these photos here are on the Fred Meyer site, and you can see there's everywhere from street sweepers. I believe this here is a sign truck. This here would be pretty sure it's a lift truck from what I can see. Numerous dump trucks, different sizes on site. This right here is a photo of Action Services, their yard. You can see right here is a fuel tank. I'm not sure how many gallons that is. Here's probably a better photo of. So you can see there's a small little backhoe right here. It's not a very big yard with it. To park three or four vehicles back there, it's pretty small. There's a catch basin right here. Normally has quite a bit of sediment around it. But there's a little car back in here in the back lot as well. A lot of vegetation, a lot of growth back there. This is, some of the vehicles that he has parked back there. Just a small non-CDL vehicle, a couple of those to show you. Lift truck.
Well, let me find that.
Oh, I apologize.
Which page number was that? This
5.
I think it's 4 on mine, but
On page 8, this is looking, my back is to Highway 303, to the Kellymore, the easement, looking at Action Services. You can see a type of vehicles that's a tanker truck. So there's a difference between a Vactor truck and a tanker truck. That's a tanker truck right here. There's a Vactor truck right here. I've seen this Vactor truck, this blue one with the back door open, numerous times.
I'm sorry, and the Vactor truck you just pointed to was
this blue one here?
That one. Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
So the tanker truck, I assume, holds liquids but doesn't vacuum them.
Yes.
It doesn't vacuum them.
It vacuums to get them into them.
Right.
It can. I'm not sure about this one,
okay.
But it definitely can. But yeah, there's a difference between the Vactor truck and a tanker truck. There was numerous small vehicles inside. Inside of his lot right there, and a few street sweepers. I'm probably looking at 3. Kind of jumping around a little bit, apologize. Just page 7, there's some, exhibit 7, There's a few more photos of different vehicles, different types. Definitely has a bunch of different, you know, different types, different jobs of vehicles. Page nine, exhibit nine. Oh, page nine. Oh, sorry, page nine. Sorry. My back is to the Ambrosia lot, so you can get an angle there and see street sweepers, the front end of the tanker truck. There's
I'm sorry, street sweeper was that one you...
This one here, yes.
Can you describe that vehicle in front of the tanker truck? Is it missing a tire?
It is, yes. The and I don't know, you know, it's in front of the shop. It could be for, you know, being maintenance. But with saying that, the vehicles on the Fred Meyer site definitely are not all functioning. There's flat tires, numerous homeless people sleeping inside of them. They haven't been moved for a long time. There's green algae, you know, underneath them. They haven't been.
I'm sorry, what's underneath them?
Green moss or.
Oh, okay.
You know, they haven't been driven, operating. Then page two is the last photo, just showing you more different types of, different angles, I guess, I apologize, of the vehicles. Page two. Mm-hmm. And these ones here, they do go in and out. The vehicles that are the ones that are in the lane of traffic, those ones do get used quite a bit. When I pull in there, I'll see them in different spots. They're being used. The ones along the fence lines.
And the ones that are being used, you say, are on the...
In the drive.
Okay, in the drive. Park,
yeah.
Okay.
Lane of travel.
So on kind of the action services side, not on the Fred Meyer side.
I will show you. Let's just go right to here. So the vehicles that are in this area right here, they get used. They're in different spots. The ones along this fence line right here have flat tires. When we get out to go walk around, looks for any spills or anything. There's some homeless people sleeping in them. But these ones don't move very often, I've seen.
Okay, so just for the record, you're pointing to the ones along the
fence line
along the Fred Meyer side.
Yes, yes.
And that's where you observed the algae and...
Yes, okay. Yeah, flat tires.
About how many are along that fence line, roughly? I mean, obviously it might...
Yeah, rough guesstimate, because this is pretty accurate, this arrow for those ones. So it's probably a dozen or more.
Can you do the same kind of walkthrough with exhibit 14?
For sure.
Just actually one quick question on, I think it's DCD 15, a number of different types of trucks were listed. Does that include the inoperable ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't.
Just go through the pictures, because these were in the date that you took these
okay.
In exhibit 14. You don't have a report associated with that, so just kind of explain what you saw there.
objection if they confer you.
Okay.
You want to do this off the record? I don't have any objection if they confer.
Oh, right. So,
oh, the date.
Okay, sorry. I just need to get the date that I took these photos. So October 25th, 2017. I made a site visit. And you can see...
So the date at the bottom, the May 2, that's just like a printing date then, I guess. On the copies I have, there's just a date at the right-hand corner. It says May 2nd, 2018. I assume that's probably a printing date or something, but not the actual date of the...
Can I walk up to you?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. There's a right down here at the bottom. Oh, maybe it's from my computer when I print. I don't know. No? Okay.
I couldn't quite hear, guys, if you're talking. Could you just go back to the mic and tell us what you... Yeah, I don't. I had no problem with you communicating with the examiner. I just wanted to get
record. No, those are date stamped, the ones that you have, but that's not.
Those should have been Exhibit 15.
15.
With the May 2nd, at least according to what.
I'm looking at Exhibit 15.
Oh, yes, those are date stamped.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. But you took the photos on October 25th, 2017.
On Exhibit 14?
Oh,
yes.
Sorry, we moved from Exhibit 14.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was confused. Sorry about that.
Okay. So just make sure I'm not confused.
For sure.
DCD 14, which are not date stamped, those were taken on, October 25th, 2017.
Yes.
Okay.
And proceed through. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can see on these photos, I'll zoom back out. Just the consistency of the vehicles, the conditions of them. There's the same street sweepers that are on site. On page 2, there's the front ends. You see the conditions of the vehicles. Page 3, my back is to the Ambrosia site. And you can see the same, you know, street sweepers, the non-functioning vehicles. Here's the condition of the laydown yard on page 4. Here's just a photo of the Ambrosia site, so you can see where it is adjacent to the property, Action Services. This is on the Fred Meyer site, page 7, right here, sorry. Just, you know, another different type of vehicle. This photo right here is on the Fred Meyer site, and it's along the fence line, the retaining wall, that separates Fred Meyer from Action Services. You can see how many street sweepers, different types of vehicles that he has. I'm going to pull this photo up real fast so I can look at it. Sorry. In this photo right here, my back is to Fred Meyer. And you can see just there's numerous Vactor trucks, tanker trucks. All these rows are full of action services vehicles. So there's, I would say countless, but I can count them. Of them. They take up quite a bit of space over there. And page 11, you can see different vehicles of theirs. And these vehicles are different than the ones from the May 2nd photo of vehicles. That's how many vehicles go in and out of this site. That yellow one, that there's two there, I apologize. One, I believe it's yellow, the photo, sorry. There's a Vactor truck right there. There's a tanker truck next to them as well.
If you've gone through the pictures and...
Yeah. Good.
You have a couple other questions regarding response to testimony from earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Do I take these off or leave them on? Yeah, why don't we take them off?
Take them off.
Have the map. Leave that one there.
Okay.
This morning, Mr. Kennedy testified about stormwater operations. And since you inspect stormwater, you have history with stormwater, can you just describe what you've seen on the site as far as the stormwater? And I don't want to get into code enforcement type issues, but
right.
I want to make sure the record is
right.
Accurate.
As far as the conditions of the Action Services site,
mm-hmm.
I thought we could probably see on the photos of his lot, all the chemicals, the fuel tank. The back lot is always... There's always a lot of sediment back in there, all around the catch basins. Again, I've worked here a long time. I've never gone back in that back lot to be able to inspect for the conditions of that catch basin. The paint store next door to him has just a few, I believe it has 7 parking stalls. A site like that wouldn't need to be cleaned but once a decade. It's never, especially a type 2, which is a round structure. Holds a lot of water, a lot of sediment, has a control structure in there. Control structure determines the flow rate that the water leaves the site, and that's predetermined before the site's developed. That tank... The paint store for sure has had to call at least 3 times in the last 4 years to have them come over and clean it. I pulled a lid one day and there's so much fuel smell that came from there that we called our lab folks. They came out and did testing on it, and then Action Services was called to come over and clean it. Roughly a year later, another one of our inspectors was doing a site. We go to Kelly Moore and we pull that lid routinely to make sure that it's not filthy based off of the amount of sediment in there that's coming from the Action Services site. And I know it's coming from their site because the pipe that runs to that type 2 has so much sludge in it, and it comes from their site. So Kelly Moore has, I don't believe they pay Action Services from what they told me. They just call them and they come over and continue to clean it. But the problem is that discharges to the state. So we continue to go over there, continue to let the manager know that it's filthy and they need to call them again. If they're paying for it, that's between them, but it needs to be cleaned again. the back basin. When Action comes and cleans that type two, they also clean the rest of the system also. We've had our lab, the Kitsap County lab, we've had them out there, water quality for at least twice.
No, I'll withdraw the objection as long as the set stops here.
That's fine. Yeah.
We can turn to the vehicles and the parking before. And you, what's your opinion on the wear of the vehicles on the parking lot? Or what have you seen out there?
Well, several of them don't move, so there is no wear. As far as tanker trucks, tractor trucks, you know, dump trucks coming and moving, I don't feel comfortable making a determination on that.
Some are inoperable on, because you talked about the inoperable ones on,
yes,
the Fredmeyer side, but
yes.
Some are on this.
Yeah, the ones that are in the, I guess they call it the flow traffic, you know, those stalls there, those ones come and go, definitely.
I think that's all the questions I have.
Do you have cross-examination, Mr. Reynolds?
Briefly, Your Honor. In terms of Fredmeyer's parking lot or the paid private easement, are Action Services yard, the depth of the pavement, is that the county's business?
I already stated I don't.
You don't have an opinion?
I don't have an opinion on that.
Oh, thank you, sir. When you went and talked to Fredmeyer, did somebody tell you to do that?
Yes.
Who?
The fire marshals, code enforcement.
And your note said that you were using Fred, the county was using Fredmeyer to pressure Action Services. Is that correct?
We were definitely using Fredmeyer to be compliant.
Well, why did you put in there the purpose was to pressure Fredmeyer to pressure Action Services to do something? Is that what was going on?
The pressure?
Yeah.
We're trying to get everybody in the area to be compliant. And those aren't Fredmeyer's vehicles that are staged there.
I understand that. But
so we're trying to use...
Sorry, cut you off. Go ahead, sir.
We're definitely telling Fredmeyer that Fredmeyer's not zoned to be having those vehicles either.
Well, before we talk about zoning, let's talk about... Does the county regulate private easements or private parking agreements? Is that the county's business?
I inspect water quality. I don't know. Yeah. Scott might be able to.
As far as you know, if somebody wants to have an agreement with their neighbor to do something, that's not the county's business, is it?
Again, I stick with the water quality aspect of it.
I'll object as far as a legal question. And what
right. I'll argue that, Your Honor. Before you went out and took these pictures, did you look at the zoning code? I know you do water quality.
Right.
But did you check the zoning code as to what's allowed or not allowed in the business zone? Did you look at the zoning matrix before you went out?
No, I was instructed to do so.
Okay, you were following instructions.
Following instructions.
Thank you, sir. So were you at the meeting that Action Services had with the county officials that Mr. Sandifer described where there was discussion regarding the code?
No, I was not.
Were you ever told by anyone that Action Services had agreed to remove any inoperable vehicles on the Fredmeyer site?
No, I was not.
When was the last time you were out to observe the vehicles, either on Action Services site or Fredmeyer? Was this May 2nd?
Oh, roughly last week.
Okay.
I don't have exact date or time. Last week.
Now, you said the vehicles take up a lot of space on Fred Meyer's site. Do you know what percentage of the parking lot?
No.
Isn't the parking lot huge?
Depends.
Well, it's a big parking lot, isn't it? Is it a big parking lot?
It is a big parking lot, and it's more than just Fred Meyer that uses that parking lot. There's other businesses as well.
I understand. But in terms of the percentage where the trucks are parked, isn't that just a small 1 or 2% of the lot?
I have no idea the exact number.
Can you tell the examiner, isn't the parking lot like hundreds, thousands of feet width and length?
I can't tell him that. No.
It's a big parking lot. Did you see any evidence where the trucks were in a conflict with any of the customers coming to Fred Meyer?
No.
Thank you. Now, in terms of these inspections, you say you provide letters and so forth.
Yes.
Is the purpose of code enforcement remedial or punitive?
Well, there is a punitive.
Yeah, but isn't the sense what you're trying to do is get people to comply?
100%. For sure.
I'll object because we're not in a code enforcement.
I'll go ahead and withdraw the question, Your Honor, and ask you to disregard it. My apologies. Did you have any input into the code interpretation?
No.
Have you ever read it? The code interpretation that's being appealed today, have you ever read it?
No.
Have you? Just one last question, sir. Have you had other instances where the owner wants to be present when you inspect season stormwater facilities? Have you had that request before?
Oh.
Where the owner wants to be present when you inspect?
Yes. Yes.
That's all the questions I have. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Borden.
Is there anything further from the county?
Follow up on the inspection, and it's reasonable for a property owner to want to be there, but it sounds like you've had other issues with that, like them following up. Is that, can you explain?
Other issues with?
Trying to schedule an inspection to go back there.
Yeah, so I inspect about roughly 600 sites a year. There might be two that want to be present when it's inspected. Normally they're apartment complexes and there's a maintenance manager that wants to be on site. In Action Services situation, it's a locked yard. So it'd have to be on site to unlock it for me to go back there. So it's not optional whether I want to go back there or not. You know, they have to unlock the gate.
When you've requested access, though, have they called you back to schedule a time?
No.
Have you been able to schedule a time when you call?
No, I've never been back in that lot. No.
I just have one question.
Yes, go ahead.
Sir, have you met Tony Sandifer before today?
No, first time.
Well, would you mind talking to him to schedule an appointment as long as we're there?
For sure. I can definitely schedule an appointment with them. Nice to meet you, Tony.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Anything further? Nothing further?
Nothing further.
Okay. Thank you. You are dismissed.
So DC will call Scott Diener as the next witness.
Good morning.
Morning.
Can you state your name for the record?
Scott Diener.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Jr., can you explain your title and role with Kitsap County?
So I'm the manager of development services and engineering for Kitsap County Department of Community Development. And I manage a group of staff that is responsible for land use and environmental decision-making and recommendations, as well as development engineering decisions and recommendations, which are primarily about traffic and stormwater, as well as staff that makes decisions and recommendations on subdivisions and platting actions throughout Kitsap County.
And how long have you worked for Kitsap County?
Since 2005.
What is your involvement in Action Services property in this development, first interpretation?
So from a more global perspective, when Kitsap County identifies code compliance issues or potential issues, the right people are brought in to help understand the issues and provide potential solutions and alternatives. So my role in this specific issue was to help identify whether there were ongoing issues with the business activities and the use, which stemmed out of a 2014 concern about a fuel spill, and consultation with both Public Works and the fire marshal about whether the use was permissible or had been permitted.
Can you give a brief history, besides what you've already told, about how the director's interpretation came out? Why did you go down that road, and you know, what led to developing the director's interpretation?
Okay. So our analysis showed that when we looked at the historical code, that the business activity did not fit the business general zoning district of the time. And so that caused us to take a look at a couple things. One was there a legal nonconforming use of record that had been established? We couldn't conclude that that was the case. And when we decided that that conclusion was going to be formalized, we then also went to look at what we call a like-use comparison between the use and other uses that exist in the use table. Both of those approaches were folded into the director's interpretation. Our director's interpretation showed that the business activity of the 80s was not something that was discussed in the historical code as an allowed use in the business general zone, and therefore that code required it to have an unclassified use permit or a UUP, and we could not find nor could any UUP be demonstrated. So that was one half essentially of the director's interpretation, or the code interpretation as it's being called. The other half was to take a look at the use today to see what it would look like with today's code, since it essentially did not have protection of historical code. And so that requires a look at our Kitsap County Code, section 17100040, which calls out four criteria that need to be met, and they all need to be met for a successful like use determination in a zone. And so those criteria ask for a comprehensive plan evaluation, that the use meets the purpose and intent of the zone designation in which they're proposed to be or they exist. There's a measure of adverse impact to public health, safety, and general welfare. And finally, the fourth criteria is that it has characteristics which are generally common to uses in that zone. And if you want, I can go into a little more detail about how we landed.
Well, we can get into that.
Okay.
I guess, why don't we start with the maps? You want to go through
ECD's
exhibits? Four is already on the overhead, so the other maps, and just explain briefly what they are.
So this is Exhibit 5, and this essentially kind of shows the area in a little more detail, and we've clouded kind of the business activities that are that we're talking about today. This is the zoning as it existed in 1983. The red is business general, and the green is residential R5 or five dwelling units per acre. This is the historical zoning map showing the zoning designations.
Your Honor, as long as that's up, could you point out the business location? If you would, Mr. Diener, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, you can see that it's got this box around it right here.
So back then, what would have been what is now the Fred Meyer site was R5.
That's correct. That is this area right here.
I think this and just this was DCD7 that you were referring to, correct?
I'm sorry.
This was this exhibit DCD7?
This is exhibit 6. Exhibit 6 is the historical zoning map, and exhibit 7
right.
is the current. I will show Exhibit 7 now. So this shows the current zoning designation of commercial. You can see the use in the box here, and then Fred Meyer. Well, you can see the Fred Meyer building outline here, but and then the parking is occurring in this area as well. So Exhibit 8 shows the comprehensive plan land use designation map and designations, and the red here is designated as urban high intensity commercial and mixed use. This is a utility map showing existing infrastructure on site. Again, this is the site in question. And you can see that this shows the stormwater infrastructure, catch basins, inlets, and those kinds of things. I think that's really
Can you point out where the Action Services is on that?
Right here. And then it looks like
That shows the catch basin that would be on their site right there.
Yeah, I think this is the one that has been discussed as behind a gated entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Exhibit 9.
Okay.
And that's all the maps that we have. I think, for
mm-hmm. So in developing the interpretation, one of the requirements from statute for like use is to evaluate the county comprehensive plan. Can you take us through and how you evaluated that particular aspect?
Sure. Again, because we felt that there was no legal non-conforming use protections, we went to the current comp plan. Current comp plan lists out several goals and policies within different chapters. There's a land use chapter, there's an economic development chapter. The land use chapter is a chapter that discusses both urban and rural goals and policies, and the economic development really speaks to economic health of the county and those associated goals and objectives. So really the exercise there is to kind of comb through the entire comp plan to see what's relevant. And we look at relevancy across the chapters, and we look to see if the relevancy may support the proposed use or the existing use in its current location. And we try and tie those into the analysis for the similar use comparison. It's the first criteria.
So which policies did you find were relevant, and how did they relate to
Okay, I'm going to have to go to my notes for that. So we found that there were a few economic development policies and a couple of land use policies that were relevant. And you want me to go through those?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in the comp plan, there's a land use policy 8, which reads, create performance standards for commercial and industrial areas that reflect impact of use for zoning purposes. And that essentially goes to the zoning code that's necessary to regulate permissible and allowed uses in commercial and industrial areas. Then there's land use policy 41, which says, when updating code pertaining to industrial lands, ensure industrial lands uses are a priority in order to prevent commercial encroachment. And that encourages the policy approach that tries to draw a line, if you will, between industrial use and activities and commercial uses and activities. We also found that Economic Development Policy 3, which reads, provide a diverse mix and appropriate range of commercial, industrial, and business land uses that will encourage economic activity capable of providing living wage jobs and reasonably scaled to the needs of the community, also had some application here. I think we had a further analysis of this, that while that economic policy does apply, it also presumes that there's going to be consistency with the use in a zone that allows that. Economic Development Policy 7 reads, encourage full utilization and development of industrially and commercially zoned areas. That's, I think, kind of self-explanatory. And then Economic Development Policy 10, which is develop standards for industrial and commercial development that identify appropriate site size for different types of areas, appropriate types of uses, and standards for design that encourage attractive and efficiently functioning areas. That's supportive of the Policy 3, which asks that your zoning code provide those regulations and standards to help provide distinction between commercial and industrial development. And that those zones be located efficiently throughout Kitsap County.
There is also Land Use Policy 17, which wasn't in the interpretation that's related to commercial, but it says the comp plan supports compact commercial areas in order to encourage pedestrian and non-motorized travel and transit. Did you see that when you were?
I suspect I saw that because I think I tried to read all of the policies that I felt were relevant, particularly in the land use chapter as well as economic mm-hmm. development. Okay.
Did you see this as applying to action services insofar as it would allow them to be in the commercial zone?
I don't recall. I apologize.
Nope. So in your review of the comp plan policy, did they lend you to feel that action services was meeting the comp plan?
I felt that certain elements were met, but that when you applied a more narrow application of whether that use could be permitted in that zone, then I felt that it started to cross the line and was no longer necessarily supportable by the comp plan policy.
Moving from the comp plan to the zoning portion, which is the second.
Yeah.
Criteria.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about the commercial zone that Action Services is in?
Well, again, understanding that we are looking at the use today as the zones exist today, commercial zone reads that it is to provide, and this is the intent and purpose of that zone, is to provide for the commercial establishments which serve the shopping and service needs for large section of the county, and provide visitor services and accommodations for both destination and en route travelers. And so when we looked at that, we didn't necessarily see that there was a fit. And to further reinforce that feeling about not having that fit, we then looked at the uses that are allowed in the commercial zone. And when you go through those, you see a theme that sort of develops about many of the commercial uses. And most of those are designed to bring shoppers into the facilities. And many of them provide service needs, personal services needs, really. So, you know, as an example of that, there's banking needs, there's fitness centers, there's laundromat, there's personal services like barbershop and those kinds of things. But that there were also a lot of retail kinds of activities. So you had auto parts stores, you have automobile sales and boat sales. You have farm and garden equipment sales. You have sort of a general classification of retail merchandise sales. And then there's also those kinds of uses that are designed to sort of bring in travelers. And some of the uses that fit within the purpose and intent statement of the zone are in other sections of the code. So we have, obviously, we have the residential section of the code, commercial, institutional, really is where I was going with that, and then resource and industrial.
Okay. Was there, I guess, first I'll ask, was there any of these that potentially could be similar that you looked at more closely?
Yeah, I think the one that, you know, if you were left with no other choice, equipment rental. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we look at equipment rental as it's traditionally been developed and applied. And, you know, understanding the Action Services business model, equipment rental, as we typically see them, and in my own experience as well, is something that you see with Premier Tool Rental or United Tool Rental. It's where you can go and rent anything from a saw to a sod cutter to a man lift to lights to small equipment like Tracos or Bobcats. You typically go into the store and pick those up. If you have a flatbed, you can have them loaded, or they can be, some of that equipment can be delivered on site. However, that business model and the model that's in front of us today didn't really comport with each other. And so that was one that was not selected.
So you say it doesn't comport with each other. What specifics?
Well, first of all, the Action Services equipment rental seems like a very small component to their business. I believe, go in and say, I'd like to rent your Vactor truck. That requires a CDL. Probably some insurance concerns about doing that, even if I had a CDL, with insurance concerns with perhaps Action Services. So when you look at the nature of what they Action Services does with its heavier equipment versus what equipment rentals typically provide, the two didn't really meet.
So if the county were to pick and choose the different uses, for example, like they've got the office that's a permitted use,
uh-huh,
that would go forward. Equipment rentals, we would say, okay, you could rent the small things,
mm-hmm,
right? That would be DCD's
yes
position.
Yes.
The heavy equipment wouldn't be part of the equipment rental piece if we were to go down that path.
Right.
And that's because?
Well, I mean, let's be clear about that. If an equipment rental store wanted to rent out heavy equipment, I'm not sure what our zoning, how we would look at that from a zoning code perspective today. But I didn't really think about that because that's not the model in front of us.
So we heard this morning about the uses of Action Services properties. When you were developing the interpretation, is there consistency with what you understood at the time versus what you understand now based on the testimony this morning?
Yes, I'm thankful for the elaboration, but it's consistent with what I understood before.
How did you come to know about the activities before when you're doing the interpretation?
What?
I know we've got the website on the in the record.
Are you asking about what prompted my involvement, or how did I come to learn about the?
How did you know what?
Okay.
What activities? What kind of things did you look at to know what their activities are?
So first of all, there was a there was a whole group of county people that were involved in going out there and looking at the activities, and so. Those people understand the activities really well that are occurring. You can, I think, simply look at the equipment and have a good understanding of what occurs. So that information was relayed to code compliance and DCD staff. And so we felt, you know, just based on that alone, we have a good understanding of what's occurring. But then to reinforce our understanding, we go to their website, and their website talks about all that they do in much more detail, sort of the infrastructure and facilities maintenance. That is their principal business model. Okay.
One of the criteria that's kind of been talked about today for the like use is that it shall not adversely impact the public health and safety and general welfare for the residents of the county by having that use in a particular zone.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say about that criteria?
Well, you know, it's our understanding that when you have a mix of what we believe to be industrial activities mixing in with commercial activities on three sides, that there is the potential for adverse impact to public health, safety, and welfare. So obviously you've got people who are driving or walking in and around the facility, the business. I don't believe that there's, I don't recall seeing anything that calls out the access area as a private easement. So I think people transit in and out as if it were an access. But also, I think there is some impact to the site that we've talked about under code compliance. And I understand that's not really at issue today, but I think that also weighed in on our concerns about whether there was an impact to public health, safety, and welfare. I'm looking through my notes. Yeah, I think that was really it, is that you had the ongoing business activity, but also the staging of the vehicles and the Fred Meyer lot and how that
Was this criteria Was this criteria one of the main ones you relied on?
No, it was not. I think that the other three criteria, in fact, have more weight in terms of affirmation about whether they were met or not.
And when you were reviewing the criteria, were you looking at adverse impacts as far as the business itself or the business as its location? And I'm going back to the testimony earlier today that seemed to indicate the county had a concern that Action Services damage the public health and safety as opposed to the location in a commercial zone.
Yeah, I think, you know, it sounds like Tony runs a good business and he's conscious of the business activities and safety and welfare. We were, I think, more concerned about its location.
So you went through, turning back to the zone and the uses, you had gone through the commercial listed uses, and none of them fit. What did you do then?
So then we continued on into the industrial code because really that was all that was left. And then we found that when you look through the uses in the industrial section of our use table, you see that there is a use called contractor storage yard, which has been applied historically and successfully for other similar uses.
How would you describe a contractor storage yard? What kind of uses are involved?
Okay. would you like the definition first? Because if we have a definition, I should say that that would be very useful. Okay, so our definition of a contractor storage yard is a place for heavy equipment, and this is 17.110.195. Contractor storage yard means a place for heavy equipment, vehicles, construction equipment, or any material commonly used in the erection of any structure is stored or accumulated. Sites that involve current construction of projects with active permits involving the materials on site should not be considered a contractor storage yard. So an active construction site is not considered a contractor storage yard, is what the latter half of that definition is telling us. So when I'm looking at what is the closest use to the business activities of Action Services, a contractor storage yard jumps out at us. So it doesn't have to be an identical use, it just has to be a close use. And so the elements that are shared between this definition and Action Services includes heavy equipment, vehicles, and materials. And while the materials aren't used in the erection of any structure, they're used for the maintenance of structures, facilities, and infrastructure. And they are also stored or accumulated on site. And then we also have applied contractor storage yard as a like use to a number of other applications historically that have gone before the hearing examiner. And so we've got at least a handful of those that can show some consistency with that approach, the similar use.
We have four of those in the record. Can you tell us your familiarity with those? They're exhibits 16, 17, 18, and 19 for DCD.
Yes. So SAW Enterprises is was a type 3 permit application that was approved by the hearing examiner in April of 2017. It was for a contractor shop and storage. SAW Enterprises offers logging, roadway construction, site work, and utilities installation. They have two excavators, two dump trucks, one tractor trailer, lowboy, one skidder, and one bulldozer. Service trucks are maintained on site, including fluid changes and tire changing. That's done within the shop. Employees park on site, pick up a vehicle or equipment for this for the day job, and then they go to that job. So that is SAW Enterprises. Winslow Masonry Conditional Use Permit for a contractor storage yard was approved in 2009. That included a 2,400 square foot shop that would provide storage space for 3 1-ton flatbed trucks, forklift, and masonry materials. Again, employees arrive on the property, park, go to the office for an assignment for the day, pick up a vehicle and materials, and then leave the property for that off-site job. That's Winslow Masonry. Ramirez Landscaping Business was an approval given by the hearing examiner for a contractor storage yard in 2009. And that included approval for a 3,600 square foot building for storage of equipment associated with landscaping. There was a gravel pad that would be for employee parking, equipment staging, turnaround, recycling, and refuse containers. Equipment that was stored on site would include flatbed trucks, dump trucks, excavators, front-end loaders, tractor trailers, mowers, and other miscellaneous small landscaping equipment. And I didn't find that it speaks to it in here, but obviously that's a business where employees come in, pick up their equipment, and go to job sites. That was Ramirez. The last that we have in our exhibits is Lydell Construction Storage Yard, Contractor Storage Yard. That was a hearing examiner permit that was approved in 2015. The applicant owns 2 10-yard dump trucks, a backhoe, an excavator, a mini excavator, a bulldozer, a 4.5-ton roller, 2,500-gallon water truck, a flatbed truck, a pickup truck, and 3 equipment trailers. And again, those are obviously job sites that are off-site as well. And so those are all examples of contractor storage yard that we believe shared characteristics very common to Action Services.
Is there anything of those descriptions that Action Services doesn't match up with?
Well, so the equipment rental component, you know, which we believe to be more of an accessory part of the business, doesn't match with contractor storage. All those other things tend to match. I mean, I don't know the scale of some of the smallest equipment that is used by Action Services, but as a general statement, we feel that they were closely matched.
Action Services contends that they're not like a contractor storage yard because of they don't construct structures or build structures. Is that a key part of the definition in DC in their analysis?
I'm going to jump to the form of the question. Calls for an ultimate conclusion.
Calls for what type of conclusion?
An ultimate conclusion. You're going to have to make that ruling. And so I always object if they give an opinion.
Well, I am curious about the take on a planning department on in terms of the code, because that is one part of the code, that language in there about material commonly used in the erection of a structure to those vehicles.
Thank you. I just made an objection.
Okay. Thank you. You may answer the question.
Could you repeat the question?
I don't know if I can do it word for word, but one of the objections is that the definition of contractor storage yard includes a piece of it that says used in the erection of structures. And there's things before it, like heavy equipment and materials. And is that last piece in DCD's mind, or going through the interpretation about erecting structures, a factor in?
No. Again, when you're looking at a similar or a like use comparison, you kind of have to look at the balance of that particular use and to see whether there's a fit. And while that one element doesn't necessarily fit, we felt that the balance of that definition fit well with Action Services
business. And by balance, do you mean the fact that there's heavy equipment?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Another way to put it is that we would look at a similar use to a contractor storage yard, not necessarily requiring materials used in the erection of facilities.
Mm-hmm. So you see materials, and I don't have the definition in front of me, materials used in the erection structure separate from the other listed uses or other listed components of the definition.
Of the other elements of the definition, yes.
So what was, going back to the process for the interpretation, once you did the analysis, what was the process for getting it finalized and reviewed?
So I typically will draft that up. I will get input from staff and from others. We will work through a final iteration, and if the director is satisfied with that, the director signs off on that, and then that becomes an appealable. If it's a formal director interpretation, which this is, then that becomes an appealable decision.
That's all that I could think of right now. Is there anything based on the testimony this morning that you felt should be addressed?
No, I think everybody understands, and it's a relatively straightforward explanation that was given of the business and activities that are occurring on site. So I don't have anything further to add.
That's all we have right now.
Thank you. Mr. Reynolds, do you have cross-examination?
I do, Your Honor. Sir, thank you for your testimony today and your service to the public. One preliminary question. When you're dealing, I take it you deal with the application of the zoning code on a day in, day out basis, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, loosely, yeah.
So I take it when you do that, do you have, is it the purpose to look at all of the language in the code?
In my day in and day out examination of zoning code?
Yeah.
Yes, we do look to find all of the relevant language for the situation in front of us.
And in fact, you not only do you have to consider all the language, but you don't get to add language. Is that correct? You take the code as it is.
Right. I think that's fair.
If you look at 17.110.195, you have that in front of you. Are you there, sir?
Okay.
Have it?
Yes.
You see the word maintenance anywhere in the language of 17.110.195?
I do not.
Sir, what's your definition of industrial? Is that a manufacturing use, or does it have other understandings? I mean, you have light industrial, medium industrial, and heavy industrial in the code. What's industrial mean to you?
So when I go through sort of the litany of uses as Kitsap County identifies them in the use table, I kind of look at the least impacting to perhaps those that have more of an impact. So, obviously, I've been, and maybe it's just because I've been looking at the use table for so many years, but we,
go ahead.
We go from residential to commercial, and so obviously the residential uses have the least impact on people in
my
general.
My question was a little bit different. It had to do with language, sir. Maybe I can ask you a more specific question.
Okay.
Could you go to 17.110.473 in the zoning code?
Okay.
Your language, Your Honor, I have the language printed up for you.
I have it. I have it in front of me, that definition.
Okay, thank you. I have an extra copy for counsel. Sir, so I understand the definition of industrial, it includes fabrication, is that correct?
I think you're looking at the definition of manufacturing and fabrication. I think it's more accurate to say that the industrial zone designation includes manufacturing of one of its listed uses. And I can elaborate that on that if you'd like.
Just a second.
Actually, if you could hand up that definition. Contractor storage yard is the definition I have in front of me.
Not the front page, but the others. So Mr. Brenner approaches, sir, I'll give you a question. I'll give you plenty of chance to explain.
Okay.
Not to worry. I don't think I could stop you anyways. Could we approach her on
that? Oh, absolutely, yeah. Thank you.
So if you go to the code 17.320.010, it has a purpose for industrial activities, right? Are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
And it says, quote, this urban zone allows a wide range of industrial activities, including heavy industries such as fabrication, warehousing, processing of raw materials, bulk handling, and storage construction and heavy transportation, unquote. Correct?
Yeah, that's half the definition, or half the purpose statement.
Yeah, and then it goes on to say, quote, this zone's intended to provide sites for activities which require processing, fabrication, storage, and wholesale trade, unquote. It also says that. Does it not?
Yes, it says that as well.
And then the code defines...
Defines manufacturing and fabrication?
Yeah, just a second, sir. I'll get there. And the code defines manufacturing in 17.110.473. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay.
Now, when you looked at, when you analyzed the comprehensive plan policies to prepare the code interpretation, at the time, were you characterizing Action Services as an industrial use?
Yes.
Would you concede that if it's properly characterized as a commercial use, the uses and activities meet the comprehensive plan policies?
I don't know that I could concede that, but I would concede that the analysis might be different.
Because as I said, if I had my notes accurate, you were saying you drew a line between industrial and commercial when you were analyzing the comprehensive plan policies.
Correct. I think when I made that statement, it was more about when I was looking at the uses that would be considered similar uses to Action Services.
Thanks for the clarification. Now, when you did the code interpretation, did you do the draft and analysis for the director, or did the director do that herself?
I prepared the initial draft for DCD, for Kitsap County.
How many hours did you put into the draft, in your analysis, in drafting?
I'm going to guess that between different iterations, internal drafts and final draft, probably 4 or 5, perhaps?
4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
Did you look at the 1977 or 1978 historic zoning codes when you were preparing the draft?
I think that I did, because those code versions were sitting with the other code versions that I have. But I can't say that I did for sure.
And so we've marked the August zoning code 1977. That was Exhibit 38. I'm sorry, Your Honor, I lost the number.
Yeah, let's see.
I think it was 38.
77 is a 37, and then 78 is a 38. That's what I've got.
Thank you, Your Honor. Do you have the zoning ordinance in front of you, the August 1977 ordinance in front of you?
I do not.
May we approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I just want to find the section for the witness. I just about have it. Yeah, why don't you take it up? Could Mr. Brenner approach the witness?
Yes.
We have copies.
Sorry, which one were we looking at first?
Yeah, I'm going to look at the 1977 code 837, sir.
Can you give me a page number?
Yeah, I will. That's next. Could you go to page 17? Let me know when you're there, Mr. Dean.
Okay, I'm there.
And that's
Business General Zone?
Yeah, and I take it from the historic map. As far as you know, was Action Services in the Business General Zone, that site in
yes.
August?
Well, okay, let me clarify that. I didn't look at the zoning map of 1977.
Okay. So we don't know if it's in the Business General Zone or the Commercial Zone, do we?
Not in 1977.
In any event, the commercial zone allows any use permitted in the business general zone. Is that correct? So whether you're in business general or commercial.
Well, I'm only going to speculate here, if that's okay. But
I don't want you to speculate.
Okay.
Look, why don't we just go to the language of page 18, paragraph 3.2.10 sub A. Are you there?
Yes, but aren't we now speculating that it was in a commercial zone? Which I don't think it was.
You don't know.
Okay. So we're both speculating.
Your Honor, I'll deal with this before we close the record. We've made a request to the county, and the county's been really great, very good at cooperating and getting these materials. But when we got this a day ago, we didn't have the zoning map, so I'll make a request. We'll deal with it later, just to keep a record open for the zoning maps in 77 and 78, and the court can take its own analysis.
Is there a response from DCD on that request? Or and we can deal with this after the at the end of it.
If I may, would it be helpful to see if we can get a copy of the 77 and 78 zone maps?
Yeah, I don't mind if we take a break, Your Honor, for a brief period, or how you want to do it. I don't have a lot of examination of this person, so I can complete those topics first.
What would you want to complete the topics and then take a brief recess to? I guess there's a question here. Do we have? Okay, so. I guess there's something else that's going. They don't have a plan B on that.
We don't have. We're going to lose the room.
Apparently, at 1 o'clock is when we lose the room. So tell you what, let's not take a break, but we can.
Okay. Let's get her done.
But we can, if need be, keep the record open, and we'll deal with it once we get to the end.
Right.
So. Okay.
Finish. So. In 1977, if you're, Mr. Diener, if you look at paragraph 3.2.10, sub C, there's a number of uses listed that are permitted, correct?
Yes.
And that includes storage yards?
Warehouses and storage yards, I see that.
Yeah. And if you go back to paragraph 3.2.9, and again, I'm referencing for the record exhibit, A37, if you're in the business general, you're allowed a storage yard as long as there's a view obscuring fence or edge. Is that correct?
I see that.
For outdoor storage. And it says outdoor storage of commodities for sale, incidental material or equipment, right?
However, that any outdoor storage of commodities for sale, incidental material or equipment be obscured from view.
Correct.
And that business general zone, as it's described in 3.29 and then A, allows any uses in the business neighborhood zone.
Correct.
Right. So as we're successively going through these different zones, they're allowing
uses. I understand. And for 3.9, thank you, sir. In 3.9, Zammer's going to read this, so I don't have a lot of questions.
Okay.
Section 3.2.9, for the business general zone, it says the following uses and types of uses. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it talks about uses that are intended to serve the neighborhood and community. Is that correct?
Yes, as well as the traveling public.
Right. Now, the traveling public, it's that the old code says as well as the traveling public, and the current code talks about and the traveling public. To be a legal use in the commercial zone, say under the existing code, do you have to serve the traveling public? Or you're disqualified from this?
No, you're not disqualified.
So it's like basically or, it's an additional. It's either or both.
Well, I don't know that it's either or.
Just help me, please. Go ahead.
Well, so
I'll object and just say that the language speaks for itself. If there's an or in there, then it's or. If it's an and, then it's an and.
I'll allow you to answer the
okay. Let me go back
the question. You can go back and refer to the actual language.
Yeah. one. So the zone is intended to provide for those commercial establishments that serve the shopping and service needs for large sections of the county and provides visitor services and accommodations for both destination and en route travelers.
And I guess my question, to cut right through it, if you're like a paint store, do you have to serve the traveling public?
No.
To be a permitted use?
No.
Sir, just a couple more brief questions. Could you go to Exhibit A38, which is the May 1978 zoning code? Are you there?
Not yet. It's okay. You said 1978 zoning?
Yeah, code? It says May 1978.
Okay, I'm there.
Now, I take it the June 1983 code would have replaced either the 77 code or the 78 codes. When I look at the history, is that your understanding?
Well, no, my understanding would be that the 78 code replaced the 77 code and that the 83 code replaced the 78 code.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it. Thank you. My apologies. Thank you for the clarification. And the various business neighborhood zone uses for May 78 or started page 24. And then business general zone is page 26. And the commercial zone is page 27 in that exhibit. Is that correct? Just to orientate the examiner.
Yes. Business general is on page 26 and commercial is on page 27.
Have you ever worked on an interpretation for an existing use as compared to a proposed use?
On an existing use. I don't know that I have or have not. I'm sorry. We've done a number of them over the years, and some have been about a proposed project, but it's hard for me to recall all that have occurred historically.
Fair enough. It's been a long time. You've been employed a long time. On the examples that the county provided to the hearing examiner on the contractor storage yards, isn't it true that those yards were all permitted in rural residential zones?
I don't know that that's the case. I think,
Circuit Ramirez is a rural residential zone.
Right.
And Saw Enterprises is. Is that correct?
Right. So Lydell was rural, Ramirez was rural.
If you don't recall,
Let me just, if I may, say that they typically are rural when we see those. Maybe not always, but typically.
I see.
And that's because it's permitted outright in certain industrial areas.
Right. So it'd be a conditional use permit if it's, say, rural area.
Right, right. Or perhaps an administrative conditional use permit in other areas.
Understood. So, understanding that there's going to be conditions imposed on a CUP, but in a general standpoint, would you agree that a storage yard is not necessarily incompatible, even with residential uses?
I could see circumstances where that's true, sure.
And we talked about what's on in a contractor's storage yard, and that's explained in the decisions, of course, some of which I think this examiner even authored. But you were talking about things like bulldozers and excavation equipment, trucks to haul material, that kind of thing, right?
Yes, that was included in some of the equipment that I listed.
Did any of those storage yards store sweepers, vacuum trucks, snow removal equipment, that kind of thing, that you're aware of?
If those, I think what you're asking me is did those contractor storage yards share all of the equipment similarities or just some of the equipment similarities?
Well, did any of them have a sweeper?
With respect to
I'll give you plenty of chance to answer. Did any of those companies have sweepers, pressure washers, vacuum trucks, that kind of equipment?
I can't answer as to that kind of equipment, but they did not have, as far as I'm aware, sweepers, vector trucks, or what was the other thing you mentioned?
Snow removal.
No. They did share, however, other commonalities with the smaller equipment trucks, dump trucks, flatbed trailers, and those kinds of things.
When you were you were at the meeting that Mr. Sandifer described, Mr. Diener, where the decision was made to go this code interpretation route?
Yes.
Do you recall being advised by Mr. Diener that he was going to remove any inoperable trucks or equipment that was stored on or parked at the Fedmeyer site?
I don't recall.
You don't? Now, in terms of the zoning matrix...
Wait, can we go back to that? Could you restate your question another way? I'm not sure I understood.
Yeah, I'll try to do it better. I'm getting a little tired. At the meeting, have you ever been told by Mr. Sandifer that the county's expressed concerns, as I understand it, to Mr. Sandifer or Action Services about inoperable trucks and equipment? Is that correct?
As just a subset of the overall issue.
As a subset.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting.
I think it was just a concern about moving equipment in general, whether it was operable or inoperable.
And that's a subset, too, and okay. That's clear on the record. I'm
sure.
Just talking about inoperable.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
But do you understand that, have you heard Mr. Sandifer say that he's moving that equipment, anything that's inoperable?
I have not heard that.
In terms of the... I'm just a couple more then. Now, if you're like in the Ramirez case, guy's out running a business out of his home and a landscaping business where they, create landscape. And the county says you can't do that unless you get a conditional use permit.
In rural residential.
Yeah. Do this Action Services, based on your interpretation, is there any out other than the move? I mean, does the county allow if the use is unclassified somehow in the zoning code? Does it allow a property owner to request a conditional use?
Yeah. As I think I understand your question, is if there's a proposed use by an applicant that's not in our use table, is the applicant allowed to request a conditional use permit for that use?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
Yeah, that's my question.
Exactly. Okay.
You stated it better than I asked.
I think the answer is yes. That could also be done through a director's interpretation, but also might require a like-use analysis.
But this interpretation doesn't talk about a safety valve like a unclassified use permit, etc. It just says that...
That's correct.
You're an industrial use.
Right.
You can't be at the site.
Right.
But in the examiner in our wisdom could point out, I guess, if the authority's there, that another option under the code interpretation is an unclassified use request. If that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Today we don't have unclassified use permits, but a CUP. I followed your last statement.
I want to be sure
record's
clear because I've got a scared client.
Okay.
And so if the examiner in her wisdom upholds the interpretation, are there other options for Action Services other than just to stop business at the site?
I don't know that I can speak to that future state, but I would think that we would do our best to work with an applicant where this DI was overturned.
Because the purpose of the zoning code, everything said and done, is to classify uses, not to put people in business.
Right. Right.
And so just one final question. On the matrix, would you agree with me that the matrix allows commercial office use in the zone that's applicable to apps and services?
Yes. So if you're asking me, would the office... are there any concerns about the office? There aren't any concerns about the office.
And doesn't the matrix, as you said, does allow a rental business as well, even though you concluded it really doesn't have all the components?
Right. Equipment rental is authorized outright, I believe.
And in the code interpretation language, it uses the term similar characteristics.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't mean exactly, does it? Did you have to have every component the same?
No, if they were exactly, we wouldn't be going through a similar use analysis. Of course not.
And the code also allows on-site parking, private on-site parking, does it not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything from the county?
Okay. No. In fact, it might be helpful for me to go back to the code on that. You've got, of course, the purpose statement for industrial, but within, if I understand your question, within that industrial classification in our use table, there are several uses, of which some are manufacturing and some are not. A boatyard, air pilot training schools, fuel distribution. Those are examples of industrial uses that are not manufacturing. Did I get your question?
I think so. At least you got further. Looking at the industrial for the use tables, they're broken out into residential, commercial, institutional, industrial.
Resource, yeah. That there is some permissibility in other zones with conditioning attached to that.
I'm kind of looking at the big picture. What's the biggest difference between action services use and any of the uses in the commercial zone? Like store, not a store. What was the biggest thing that had a difference in why you didn't think of this?
Well, using both the comp plan and the zoning purpose and intent statement as a guide. Let me go back to that. I looked at shopping and service needs for large sections of the county. When you look at the use table, I think it further illuminates what those shopping needs are. There's plenty of examples. It also illuminates what those service needs are. And so, those, as I mentioned earlier, some of those service needs include having your automobile serviced or having your toenails serviced or your hair serviced, those kinds of things. So, and I think that is a logical approach to how we look at that purpose statement and tie it to the uses. But there's also the visitor services, and this didn't seem to fit very well, and accommodations for destination and en route travelers, and this also did not fit that as well. So the biggest difference is that the commercial zone is really intended for shopping and comparative shopping, retail services, as well as some office needs. That, I think, is one of the biggest differences between what the use table calls out thematically versus what we're seeing here. This is really, I think, action services is really mostly about taking equipment off-site and working on infrastructure or facilities maintenance, cleaning, and improvements. That theme, if you will, of that kind of activity has nothing else like it in the commercial use table. Well, that's hard to answer because the contractor storage yard, as it's been authorized both conditionally, administratively, and outright, has a number of different kinds of models that have been permitted. But the central commonality is that it involves storage and staging of equipment that can service any number of kinds of needs, construction, landscaping. We see people that do a lot of, well, so there was the masonry example where they do a lot of the work. Well, I guess they all have sort of off-site commonalities with the work, I guess. It's hard for me to answer that without looking at some of the other contractor storage yards that have been approved. But, you know, the one thing that is very consistent is that they all involve equipment. I think they all involve employees coming, getting an assignment, taking that equipment, and going off-site. And that equipment is at least of a small equipment component or larger.
I'm sorry, Lisa, it was 17.10. 4.10. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry for the intro.
C. Okay. You want me to... Okay. So 17, 4.10, 030C is the header for that is interpretation of tables, and it's in the allowed use section of code. And it reads that for unclassified uses, except as provided in section 17.100.040, allowed uses, and that's where that similar use analysis takes place. If the use is not listed in the use column, the use is prohibited in that designation. So another, if I can just restate that, if a use isn't shown in any of our columns, it's not allowed, but it can apply for a similar use.
I just very limited follow-up.
Go ahead.
Now, in the definition of contractor's yard, what's a contractor do in your mind?
Well,
don't they go out and build roads, buildings, and make landscaping?
Yeah, I mean, I think a contractor does any number of things. Yeah.
Well, don't they build something?
Can. What?
A contractor, doesn't a contractor build something?
Well, contractor can maintain something, can build something. Contractors, I think the definition of contractor has a very probably broad use that I'm not able to tell you.
Well, at least in the decisions, each of the decisions that the county cites, each of those entities went out and built structures from creating landscaping to building buildings. It's right in the decisions, is it? It's right there. Do you agree?
With those, well, I don't know about Ramirez Landscaping. I think that was more of a landscaping, but I can't.
I understand, but Ramirez says that there's been an interpretation by the county that if you create landscaping, that's construction. That's creating, erecting something.
So in those examples, Lidell Construction, Saw, I'm missing one, Winslow, and Ramirez, they're involved in the construction business. I don't know about Ramirez entirely. I think they also do landscaping maintenance,
okay,
like what your client does.
All right. Just one last question.
Sure.
You use this
theme. You said you had a theme and that came into your mind in reviewing the Matrix, Sony Matrix, that these businesses bring shoppers into the facilities, quote unquote. That's what you said?
I think that's part of what I said.
Do you want to expand?
Well, okay, so if we're going back to the question about the purpose statement of the commercial zone and the uses that are within that shown in the use table, you can see that there are some themes that are generally presented here.
And one of the themes is to bring shoppers into the facilities.
Yes. Yeah.
Is the language to bring shoppers into facilities, is that found in the zoning code anywhere? Is that language found?
Well, I'm looking. It does not say bring shoppers into the commercial zone.
Thank you. And isn't it true that a lot of these businesses, to your personal knowledge, will do business by phone and computer? For example, banks?
Yeah, that's fair.
And that doesn't disqualify a business from being a commercial business.
No, I think you have to look at the business activity itself.
Thank you. Yeah. That's all the questions I have, Your Honor.
Thank you. Okay.
We had some very brief rebuttal and probably about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Tony's just, he's eager. Could you retake the stand? Take your notes up with your loved one. Do you want me to have those? Okay. Yeah, if you want to. Okay. I want you to find that. John, why don't you go up and find the picture in the exhibit notebook? It was exhibit, it was 14. Hang on, I got a note on it. It's DC 14, number one. Why don't we start there? Ready? You guys ready? Lisa? Ready? You're on, Tony. Yeah, but we're not going to take a long time on this. We're going to lose the exam. We're all going to
lose the room.
Yeah, we're going to lose the room. Anyway.
If you can state your name again for the record.
Tony Sandifer.
And you remain under oath.
Okay.
Mr. Sandifer, you were here when the two county witnesses testified. Is that correct?
Yes.
Why don't we start with, there was a testimony in the private driveway that it's not posted. Do you remember that testimony?
Yes.
Is that true?
No, it is posted. There's a sign in a couple of the pictures.
And why don't you pull up just one of the pictures, DC 14, number one, the exhibit notebook. John, can you approach? Just give us a minute, Your Honor. We'll find it. We're going to be reviewing Madam Examiner, DC, Exhibit 14, photo number one.
I have it. It's in front of me.
You're doing better than we are. We're working. John does a great job with these books, but they're too thick sometimes for me. You find it, Tony?
Yeah. Do I need to put it?
No. The examiner has it in front of him.
Oh, okay.
I just point out the sign and what, and we'll tell the examiner what it says.
The sign that says private. I don't want to fall off. My glasses aren't quite strong enough. It says private drive. There's this sign there, and there's another sign on the other side stating private property.
So it is signed to keep the public out of the what I call the access drive.
Yeah, we try to, but
private lane.
Right. It's a private. It's not a street or a road.
Okay. Now, you were here when Mr. Borden testified about his efforts to meet you and inspect the stormwater system.
Yes.
Have you met with other county inspectors on site?
Mm-hmm. Three others.
at different times.
Yeah, I met with, over time, I think it was Rocky. I met with another gentleman, I don't remember his name, several years ago. And then I've met with Sarah, is it Sarah Olson? I've met with her several times, talked to her on the phone actually too.
But you've been able to make connections.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never heard from Eric. I mean, I don't know. He may have called, but I never got the message.
Do you have anything to hide?
No.
In terms of this 2014 oil spill or something, or spill, whatever it was, well, do you recall that at all?
No. I don't know if it was when they found material in the structure or what that pertains to.
Mr. Borden said he had concerns that there was a lot of dirt
right
around the stormwater. I take it the trucks probably come in with some mud or dirt, don't they?
Yeah, some different pieces of equipment. Correct.
You're not telling the examiner they're freshly washed and pristine.
No. And we do.
You're pressure washing the yard on a routine basis, right?
Yeah, when it's necessary. Well, more so now since things have, changed.
Kind of under the microscope now.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to be a better, do more due diligence on what we do. But when we do that, we use the Vactor and we capture everything and then haul it to a disposal site. So.
What about the conversations you've had with Fred Meyer?
Yeah, that was an interesting statement because I've known Axel.
Why don't you identify the statement?
Oh, the statement Eric had made about he was there and Axel had told me that I had to have my trucks off of there. I've known Axel Stricklejohn for about 25 years. And the conversation, as I remember, he called me and said that that they had to get any vehicle that wasn't licensed or running off the property, but not all vehicles off the property. And then he showed me a letter that the county had sent to him when I had met with him that stated about vehicles if they were not running, but no conversation or anything about all the vehicles have to be removed that I remember.
Did you follow the directive to remove the inoperable
vehicles? Yeah, the next previous week we went through and anything, because we have a lot of seasonal trucks for winter, summer. We made sure that everything was current licensed, even though it wasn't going to be on the road until winter. We went through, removed a couple vehicles. We have a huge homeless problem there, which I can't get the county to address at all. But between vandalism and we talked about in the trucks, we try to get them out of there. We call the sheriff, and they don't even show up anymore. It's all on us.
You're not claiming any right to store inoperable trucks anywhere, are you?
No. No, everything in that parking lot is licensed. And not all those vehicles are commercial or CDL, only a handful. Our parking lot sweepers are not CDL. Our dump truck is not CDL. The Vactor truck is. There's a number of trucks in there. The lift truck is not. Anything commercial is a CDL truck. Is anything over 26,000 GVW in weight and has air brakes or both. And only, I'd have to go through all the pictures, but three or four of those vehicles were CDL trucks. All the small parking lot sweepers are non-commercial, non-CDL. What he named his dump trucks are de-icing trucks. The only dump truck there was a four-yard dump truck, and it is a non-CDL vehicle. Now, of course, the vacuum truck is, and those other vehicles, but the majority of those vehicles there are not considered commercial or CDL.
Do you have anything more in your notes you took during the testimony of the county witnesses that you want to comment on to the exam?
I just don't know if I can read my writing.
It's your time there, Tony. So
okay.
A few seconds.
I wanted to mention, too, the county, never contacted me of my business model or what I do. There was just assumptions made by looking at a website. I was never approached, never asked. They just assumed and made it. I feel that it is assumed, look at a website and made a decision. They never... I never, in the meetings that we had, it was never brought up exactly what we do. I was just, it was more of accusatory, I felt, than it was truly what we do.
Well, did you ever, you've read the zoning code, right?
Yes.
Have you ever seen any section of the code that says a certain percentage of business has to be directed with customers?
No, and you know, the comment was made about rental yards, and I have a lot of experience with rental yards since we buy a lot of equipment from them, and they have a lot of heavy equipment. They have backhoes, they have loaders, they deliver their business model, being in that business for a number of years, about 80 to 90% of their business is delivered heavy equipment, man lifts, backhoes, loaders, that type of, I mean, they do have smaller hand equipment, but, you know, they have more heavy equipment on a site than we have, and more commercial, I mean, more of what you would call, they have construction equipment.
Does that complete your testimony? Check it out one more time. It's easy to forget something, Tony. I'd rather get it now. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm just using first names. It's, after doing this 46 years.
Yeah, one other thing.
Anything else, sir?
The picture of the fuel tank, the diesel tank, keeps coming up in the conversation.
Is that the one that was removed?
Correct. That was removed, but it was allowed by the county and inspected and discussed for a period of over a decade and wasn't required to be removed until the July situation. But before that, the fire marshal knew about it. I think his name was Roger. Every time we met every year, it was discussed. And it wasn't an issue to have it removed all those years. It was noted. We were working on it, putting a newer tank in, as he requested. But there wasn't a thing about removal at all about the tank until it came up in July. And then we complied and we removed the tank based on that. But it's like, you know, they're pointing at it saying, you know, this is here and it's been illegal. Well, the fire marshal, before that was coming out for years.
I think he made your point.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's it.
That's all we have, Your Honor. Thank you.
Just one clarification question. If you could elaborate a little bit, you had provided a summary of the types of vehicles that you had on site, which was helpful in terms of describing what's actually on there. Maybe you were going kind of fast, so it's fine. If you could maybe elaborate a little bit more on...
Along the fence, the claims were made that those vehicles don't, there was moss and things under them. A lot of those trucks are seasonal. They may not move through the summer, but come the winter time, they're going 24 hours a day during, you know, snow events in the wintertime. So a big row of that is small parking lot sweepers, which go out on a daily basis. We work 7 days a week. I think there's only one vehicle in that picture that was not in use, which was a street sweeper. But the other vehicles go in and out. But most of those vehicles, the dump truck along the fence, the other two de-icing trucks, as they call dump trucks, which were, they're just one-ton Chevrolets, non-commercial. Those trucks all run, and, you know, it's seasonal. And we periodically pull the trucks out from there and pressure wash and try to clean that up. So, I mean, we've been trying to, you know, be a better steward of everything and try to comply with the county as requested of what we can.
And so the vehicles that are not operable, I think your earlier testimony, you said those have been removed from the
city. Yeah, I mean, as soon as they were asked that they needed to be removed, within a few days they were removed. So everything up there is licensed and registered and in use. Oh, there was one other thing that Scott had mentioned about being able to rent equipment from us. The only thing that you need to rent equipment is an Accord assurance form for $1 million policy, additional insured, which our clients give us when they use our equipment. And being a CDL truck, as long as we deliver it on site and it's not being used on a public road, people use that equipment to do all different things, as well as our generators and smaller equipment that we have.
Mr. Reynolds, was there nothing further?
I have no follow-up. Thank you.
Did it come across? Okay. I think you're dismissed then.
Whoa.
Anything more, Tony?
Unless you have anything further you wish to add.
I want to go to lunch.
Understood. Probably not alone.
You know, I have a suggestion, but maybe you've got directives too. I could have served the examiner better when we did the reply brief. I'm thinking now we should have probably given you a few more citations and code interpretation begins. Hindsight being 100%. I was wondering if, because we're going to receive the maps, if in this one instance we could ask for a short written argument, like 6 or 7 pages, instead of doing oral argument? Because I want to give you the citations and give the county a chance to comment on them. Because this is a lot of a, this probably is a code interpretation. Look at the statute case. And I don't think I should give you the law if the county doesn't give a chance to apply to it. But it's just a suggestion.
Does the county
getting a little stuck for time.
We are bumping up against the... Does the county have a response on that?
The difference is that we do oral argument now. Everything's been presented. It is a legal issue. And I think you have all the information that you need. I do understand we're crunched for time and we don't have the maps. And I would say that we can't guarantee the maps if we don't have them, because sometimes that old stuff we don't have. So... we'll definitely look, but the county's preference would be oral argument now, but we'll go with whatever you decide.
It's up to you, Your Honor. If I did a written argument, I'd limit it to like 5 or 7 days.
Yeah, I'm inclined to allow written argument. I know there was pre-hearing briefing on this, but I think that would be helpful to me, especially since we've got the maps coming in, although that's may not be that significant. But so if we do, so I think we will do written closing. And did y'all, I mean, if you all had some brief closing remarks you wanted to present today, we've got a little bit of, we've got about 15 minutes left, so we could do both, or we could just say, well, we'll just, everything will be combined, will be written. Do y'all have a preference on that?
I'd rather just do the written, but
yeah,
it's really more a legal question case, unlike a weighing of facts case that a lot of times you do, so. Mm-hmm.
If we're going to do written, there's no need to.
Okay. All right. So that. So then, I guess you had suggested perhaps you present something, and then there's a response from the county. The other option, of course, would be a simultaneous deadline.
I'm open either way, but I never have an objection if the county gets to comment on when we give you the law. It's really up to the examiner, the county. Can't run it
either way.
I don't think I need a reply. If you want to have us go first and the county responds, I'd be shocked if we asked for a reply. You got a lot of briefing, and the examiner's experience.
Either way would work. It might be more efficient to do it simultaneous. But
I have no problem with that. That's fine with me.
So if there's not a strong preference either way, I'll do simultaneous, unless they're, you know, if the county would prefer to do it.
If he's just citing legal.
I'll
trust you to understand what the legal cases really say.
Okay. All right. So we'll do a simultaneous closing argument. And I guess the next question on that is a deadline. How much time do y'all want?
Well, at first I was going to say that if we have the maps, we should know by the end of today.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say a week from today, maybe, Your Honor.
Okay.
So Tony wants 2 years, but I told him I didn't think we could swing that.
But a week, so that would be Thursday, I guess, next week.
Yeah,
that sure works. Okay, so Thursday next week.
And we could just email you on it?
Yeah, email the hearing examiner clerk just the way you all have been doing it, and of course to each other. So I guess Thursday, 5 p.m., transmittal.
Your Honor, can I say one more thing? I'm not trying to get brownie points with you, not necessarily, but it's been a pleasure working with you, clerk.
She does good
put
work.
A lot of good information in. But we do this all over the state, and makes our job easier too.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. She is very helpful.
Very good job.
Yeah. Let's see. So, okay. So we've got that closing brief. Sounds like they'll be short, roughly 7 or 8 pages, something like that. I did have a question, actually, and this you all can address in the briefing on the burden of proof. Typically on a code interpretation, you're traveling through Titles 17 and 21, right. So the burden of proof is on the appellant. This is not a code enforcement matter, but there's a linkage there. So I did right. have a question on that.
I understand. We'll take that on. We looked at that at the brief, especially the reply brief, but we'll do some more. I'm blessed to have my contract associates actually an examiner in Bend, Oregon. So
keep
asking her, what do you want to hear if you were doing this?
Yeah, and the other, it sounds like there is consensus between the parties, certainly with regard to some of the activities going on site, that some of them are permitted. So if the parties have any stipulation, I mean, I can tell from the briefing kind of exact, kind of roughly where that consensus is, but if there is a stipulation on that, don't hesitate to provide that. And then I did want to clarify which, in terms of the non-conforming use argument, is it the 86 or the 83? And as a practical matter, it may not matter because the language, it looks pretty similar. But I think it would be good to know, are we talking about the 86 zoning code or the 83 zoning code?
I think we're going to be talking about the 78, but we'll expand that, Your Honor, because we started in 82. But we'll put that into our, we'll address
okay.
that in the written
article. It would be good to clarify exactly which.
We'll do.
Yeah. That seems a little bit beyond what we've been talking about here, because according to what we knew at the time and what they even said in their opening brief, it was 84. So the 83.
Yeah, I did have a question on that. My understanding from the testimony today is really, and from the briefing, is that the use was really established in the 80s. And granted, it started small and it's grown over time. But it was my understanding we were either looking at 86 or 83 in terms of kind of the non-conforming use argument. Because that's when.
I'm sorry, I cut you off, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
Our view is a little different, but not 100% different. Because the surface of uses that occurred that were intensified or added after 82. We'll deal with that in the brief with the timeline.
Okay.
Part of the written argument.
I'm just concerned that brings up a whole nother, we have to do new argument. That's not just closing.
Yeah, so I would caution that in terms of the time of establishment, it should be consistent with the earlier briefing and the testimony that we've had today. And my understanding is that we are looking at, in terms of to establish a non-conforming use, you do have to have a kind of point in time when it was established and to measure it against whatever the code was at that particular time. And from the county's position, whether it was the 86 code or the 83 code, it didn't really matter. But that going back to the 70s code, for purposes of establishing non-conforming use, would bring in, I think, a new issue.
We have testimony, but we don't have any actual documentation because that's not what we were proceeding under of business licenses, or how do we know that that's the date that it was established?
Yeah, that it does seem a bit outside the scope of what certainly what I've heard today. And
I'll deal with that, Your Honor. So. I'm not sure I'm agreeing with everything, but I'm not disagreeing with everything.
Okay.
I'll go back and look and see.
If there needs to be an objection once briefing is received, then certainly that could be filed.
Not sure it's going to be overriding, but.
Okay, so in other words, if they bring up something that, because obviously I won't know it.
Until, yeah.
So I'll have a chance to.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, I think that's it for my questions. Any other questions from council on this procedurally? Okay. All right, so again, briefing deadline Thursday next week, whatever, I'm not sure what day that is, but 5 p.m. And then a decision will be out within 10 business days of that. And I think we don't have anything else on the agenda today, so I think that's it. Y'all can go have
Thank
lunch.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.